I'd like to welcome you here this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and thank you for coming to hear our brother speak. I ask that you would keep a prayer in your heart for our brother Buzz, as he has a great responsibility for him this morning, that he give to us the message that he has received from the Lord on our behalf. So I do ask that you keep a smile on your face and a prayer in your heart for Apostle Brother Smith Brickhouse.
Morning. You have to bear with me this morning. If you can hear me, I hope. They crammed a breathing tube or whatever it was down my throat Friday, and I'm talking a little hoarse. Can you hear me? Okay. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be able to stand before you this day and to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in him. And the wonderful songs that we started out the service this morning is remembrance that in the storm of life, Jesus Christ is the answer. And we can come out of the things of the world and he'll protect us and he'll walk with us. He calls us to be his people wherever we might be, to shine forth our light, the light of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to be able to witness and testify once again that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And on that fundamental belief that we have, we build our hope of eternal life. I'm thankful for the many prayers that have been offered for me. I had another biopsy the other day, and I was thinking that, I've probably, in the last 6 years, I've had over 15 of those. And so far, I've survived them all, which is a blessing because of the prayers. And I'm thankful for the blessings of God and for your prayers. I'm thankful for the Lord that watches over us and gives us strength in our times of weaknesses, both physical and spiritual, that forgives us of our sins when we repent and forsake them and place them behind us, that we might have the hope of eternal life. I had a dream. I don't usually have dreams. I had it about a month ago. I told Sue about it. I wasn't going to say anything, but it's been on my mind. And I was raised on Lake Michigan. A lot of you know that. And I lived in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I spent a lot of time on the lake. I knew the lake at the back of my hand. And I knew that when you're out on the lake, you always kept your eye out in the southwest because if a storm came, it was going to be coming from there. And it was going to come fast, and it was going to have a lot of wind. And you had to be careful. But my dream wasn't that. My dream was I was in my parents' backyard. They lived right on the lake. And we lived on the south side of Milwaukee, and from the north of Milwaukee down the bay comes in, and I lived in this part down here. It's probably 15 miles. And I looked up my parents' backyard, and I saw a black dot in the north. It was like a pin that you just made a pin mark on that drawing. And it started growing, and all the way down to the north, along the coast there of the bay. It passed all the rich suburbs along the lake. It came past the University of Wisconsin, where Sue and I attended. Came down into the business district and crossed the river and the places of commerce, and came down into Jones Island, and it grew and it grew and it grew, and it became a mighty roar. That the only things you could see is these black clouds and mighty roar. And it came down and it stopped. Right where I lived. And so I thought about that, been thinking and wondering what that dream was, why I had it. And I've come to the conclusion that the Lord was showing me and showing us that the time is at hand. The storm is upon us. It's no longer coming, it's here. It's roaring within us and in our society in the time that we live in. And we're being overtaken by it. And yet we need not fear because he's with us. And he will be with those that are his. I want to read from Amos in the third chapter. It says, "Hear the word that the Lord hath spoken unto you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they agree? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth with no gin in his, where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord shall not have done it? Shall the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy?" We see the day and the time that we live in. Scriptures testify. We've had dreams. We've had experiences. We've been taught that the time is at hand. And are we going to listen? Are we going to pay attention? Or are we going to sit and let it consume us? You know, our culture is changing daily. Everything's being turned upside down. Good is bad. Bad is good. And we don't know what we should do. But the scriptures have taught us to be steadfast, to be immovable, to abound in good works, to be everlasting, to have fear of the Lord and listen to him and keep his commandments. And we find that I saw a YouTube thing the other day, and it was a man. He was talking to a Christian audience, and I don't remember his name, but he was talking something similar, and that these times are upon us. And we read in the scriptures, we read them as historical documents, we look at these things and we think about them, and I'm talking about myself, and yet I continue to go on as I was going on. And they're happening. These prophecies, a warning of the time of the end are upon us, you know, and we need to yield. We need to focus. We need to make Jesus Christ the focal point of our life. We need to gather together and consider the things that he has taught and where we are in time and what it is that he wants for each one of us, his people. What it is we can do to serve him. What it is that we can do to be a good example. How we can teach our children. How we can love one another and bring words of edification and encouragement to one another, that we might be able to stand. That we might be able to stand and fight. That we might be good soldiers. That we might be faithful. I want to turn to 1 Peter. Third chapter. going to start in verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man. Every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Are we prepared? You know, we had our state reunion here. And the sermons, to me, revolved around telling us to prepare quickly. To focus. To be ready. To do the things we're known to do, need to do. And the promises of God and his promises of Zion and the coming of a place of refuge for those that love him. And you know, that's, that I think we're being warned. We're being warned by dreams of, like Betsy Trujan telling us to prepare to be able to give an answer, to teach people of the gospel and of the hope that we have. Even when the world is telling the opposite. You know, we're going to be mocked at, we're going to be laughed at, we're going to be spit at, we're going to be thrown into jail, we're going to be persecuted, but God will not forsake us. He will always be with us. He is the answer. But we have to have that change in our hearts and be convicted that he will never fail, that we know that he never changes, and that we can place our faith and trust in him. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and the ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. We can overcome all things through Jesus Christ. We of the restoration know that the scriptures testify and give examples of what happened to societies when they turned against the Lord and how they were blessed when they came unto him. And repented and forsake them and set those things aside of them. You know, we read in the scriptures of both the Bible and the Book of Mormon, societies were completely demolished until they were brought down and humbled, and they turned to the Lord, and he lifted them up and prospered, and they were blessed and had peace. Scriptures promise us that there is a few left that believe he can do mighty miracles. Nothing can stop him. It puts it right down to the responsibility of each one of us individually and collectively to place our faith and a trust, to recognize that there's a storm coming. It's growing. It's here. We're in among us. Just think of the things that are happening in our country. The shootings, the violence, the terrorists, the hate, the drugs, the sex, the immorality, you just name it, just in our lifetime. Little things that we've allowed that would come before us, come between us and the Lord. Going shopping on Sunday, going to the lake, or doing things that we shouldn't be doing. Some of us, of course, have to work on Sundays. Some jobs, you got to do that. But are we taking one day a week as a day of rest, a day to meditate, a day to do good, a day to help others and glorify God in our life? And so, you know, I'm talking about myself. You know, I've allowed these things to separate me. They may have become idols that we're told to place down. But they steal our time and our energy and our thoughts and our resources. You know, we're a small 1800s. Let me skip back here a little bit. In the 1800s, 1700s, you know, Christian morality ruled the earth. 1900s, you know, it started disappearing. It's almost non-existent today. We've went from a time of strength when morality was the thing to do, and the immorality, you would be even shuddered at the thought of it. The immorality is the thing to do. It's accepted. You're laughed at if you can't accept it and be part of it. You're persecuted. The media calls your attention to you because you've stood up for what is right. And it's completely upside down, and we're at the point, we're at the battle, we can't give up. We got to place our faith and trust in Christ. I'd like to go to 2 Peter, first chapter. Simon Peter, the servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us in glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Now, he's telling us that Peter, he's talking to the people, and he's talking about the faith that's been given us and the teachings and the grace that has been given us and the knowledge that we have of an unchangeable God. And it's calling us to glory and to virtue and the promises that have been given. And he says, besides giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, the bond of perfectness. Have we thought about those things that we're to add? Those things that we're to do? We're to add virtue? We're to add morality in our life as an example for others and our children and our grandchildren and those around us. We're to have a knowledge of the Lord and his promises and his commandments and to put them to practice in our life. We're to be temperate in all things, not to be, but to be in control, to have a control of our emotions, and be steadfast and immovable. We're to have patience, and patience to have godliness. We're to be godlike. We're to have his attributes. We're to be forgiving. We're to be loving. We're to be repentive. We're to seek others' will in our life before ourselves. We're not to be selfish, but or not prideful, but to be humble and have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And the time is at hand. The world is overtaking us. The Lord is calling us to be his people, and he's pleading with us, and he tells us he'll be with us. We're to have brotherly kindness. We're to have charity, that bond of perfectness, that pure love of God within us, not only for God, but love for others as he has love for us, to think of them first. He says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to have knowledge of the Lord? Do we want to have his guidance and protection? Do we want to have him overwatching us and lifting us up? We're to have these things, that we might be fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he has purged from his old sins. But the rather, brother, instead of being blinded, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. Do those things that the Lord has told us to. You know, the beautiful Sermon on the Mount that, you know, I talk about it all the time because it's just few pages in the scriptures. And it tells us how to live our life, tells us how to treat each other, tells us how to solve problems, tells us how to pray. It tells us everything. And at the end of that, in the seventh chapter of the book of Matthew, you know, he says, and do these things. Do the things that I've told you to do, and I will bless you, and you will have eternal life. It's not rocket science. It's plain terms. You know, we don't have to be theologians. We're to place our faith and knowledge in. You know, sometimes I know it tells us to study the scriptures, you know, but it tells us to yield. You know, I think of our brothers and sisters in India, 90% of them are illiterate. They can't read the scriptures, but they have great faith in Jesus Christ. They have a great hope of eternal life. They have separated themselves from the culture that they live in, which has no hope of eternal life, because there's never an end in the Hindi religion and culture. And they have all these different gods that turn in, you know, the trees or whatever turn into people, and I don't know. But there's no hope because they're always struggling. But our brothers and sisters have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That trust of a little child. That how we look up to our parents and those around us. You know, that's our heavenly parent is holding us up, petitioning us, and has promised us not to forsake us. And the time for us to pick up ourselves and to humble ourselves is now. If I titled this, I titled my sermon, and I don't title sermons, but focus, because that was my thought. You know, it tells us that to make Jesus Christ that focal point in our life. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. Not the kingdoms of the world, not the wishes of man, and you know, but to seek first eternal life, to yield to Jesus Christ, to come and to repent of our sins, to be baptized, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that abides with us and directs us in our life. And once we've been baptized, to allow that Spirit to work with us, to teach us, to correct us, to admonish us, to lift us up, that we might have the assurance that he's with us each day. To focus and making him the focal point of our life. What is it that we think about when we get up in the morning? What we're going to eat, what we got to do to go to school, what we got to do to go to work, what we got to do this and do that, and all the things of the world. Do we give time for the Lord? Do we allow him to speak to us and tell us what we're to do that day and not to do? Are we anticipating that he will nudge us and direct us? Do we look to the scriptures for guidance and direction daily? Do we seek his will in our prayers and our thoughts? Are we placing him first, or are we allowing that dark storm to boil around us and evolve us that we don't can't see, that we get lost in the mist of darkness, that we're wandering at sea, that we're seemingly carefree and out of control, that we're going along with what everybody else does, or we're separating ourselves and focusing. You know, focus to me is making that, coming with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and thinking about the things of the Lord and allowing him to direct us. Another thought of focus is a verb where you're focusing in on the things that are important in your life. You know, you got like a telescope and or a camera, and you're focusing in to get a clear picture of where we are, what we're doing, where we're headed for, what the promises of a God are compared to his commandments, you know, if we're following them or not. And so these times of reflection, these times to come together and worship together and to hear testimonies and prayer and to read the scriptures is a time to focus and get a clarity of what it is that the Lord is teaching us to do, commanding us to do, and the promises that he's given us if we do these things. You know, we can get lost in fables. We can get lost in other people's opinions. We can get lost in conversations or things of the culture or things of the world and get ourselves all tied up into these things. And they mean nothing. We've got to focus on Jesus Christ. We've got to focus on keeping his commandments. We've got to focus on enduring to the end. We've got to focus on the hope that we have of eternal life. That there is nothing that the world or the people of the world or our enemies can do to us that can separate us from the love of God. That he is forever. That he will not forsake us. That he hears our cries and our supplications. He'll forgive us of our sins. That he loves us. But we have to give him our life and please him. He's to be the center of our attention. He's to be the reason why we have patience and knowledge and charity and kindness and virtue and all those things that he stands for, that we might be his people, that we might be examples for others. And he's waiting on us. I'd like to turn to the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. I hope you already know where I'm going. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Doesn't that just excite you? That scripture excites me. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Have you ever thought of it? Oh, we wonder how things are going to be accomplished. We can't comprehend them. The power of God, the magnancy, the awesomeness that is capable of doing all things. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the cunning craftiness and strategies of the devil that separates us from the Lord. His lies, his deceivings, his playing up to our pride and our lusts and our sins. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, we're being led astray, and we're at a battle, and it's time to stand. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, to focus, to take a stance, to not give up. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of your righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, above all, taking the shield of faith, when you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, he's telling us, put our faith, our trust, our hope, in nothing else but Jesus Christ. Are we doing that? Where we set our principles or our example? What is it that we've placed, that we're headed for, that we have a desire for? Is it the things of the world, or is it the things of the of eternal world with Jesus Christ and his Father? Don't get lost up in vain imaginations and fables and stories that don't edify and strengthen us. Care for those things that lifts us up and strengthens us righteously. I'd like to go to the Psalms. Maybe I won't. First Psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Telling us what not to do. We'll be blessed. Pretty easy to understand. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't let those in the ungodly deals actions influence us. Separate ourselves from them. Nor stand it in the way of sinners. Don't be among those that are openly sinning. Don't be a part of them. Abhor it. Flee from it. Have a knowledge of it. Know what the sins are. Pride. Deceitfulness. And don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't be among the murmurers and the complainers. And those that are contentious, be among those that seek peace and love and charity. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Are we thinking of the things of Christ in our life? If we are, we're going to be blessed. Is what it's saying. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. You know, he's telling us he's going to bless us. We're going to be, have nourishment, just like the tree by the water, that our fruit is going to come. We're going to bear good fruit if we do these things. That he's going to bless us, and our leaf, our buds will not wither. We won't be lost in the things of the world. We will prosper. But those that choose not to serve God, it is not so, but are like the chaff when the wind driveth away, the part that the wind blows away, the trash, the unwanted stuff. No meaning. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Not hard to understand. Do we believe the things that are written in the scriptures? Do we put them to practice in our life? Do we believe in the promises? Or do we recognize the storm that we're in the midst of? That stopped at our doorstep. You know, we've gone from Christians of being in the Christian morality to being the influence and the strength of the world to being among the weakest in the minority of the Lord, where we're no longer heard of or thought of, and the world is overtaking us. But he'll never forsake us as long as there is just a few. as long as there's you and I and those that love the Lord, he will always be with us. And those the storms will pass, and he'll will be in his arms and in safety. I'd like to turn to the Romans. First chapter. Sixteenth verse. For it's Paul talking, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know, we're not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're not to be closet Christians. We're not to put down our Christian belief and allow ourselves to be absorbed up in the trials of life. We're to know that we can overcome all things through Jesus Christ, and that our righteousness will be revealed from faith to faith. And the in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in the righteousness. It's saying the wrath of God is going to come upon those that know what righteousness is and choose not to follow it and follow the ways of the evil one. The wrath of God. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, but being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. You know, talking about those that knew him, but his name wasn't precious. His name wasn't their focus of their life. Their name became a vain thing. But became vain in their they became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Have the riches of the world, but don't have the love of God. Don't have the faithfulness in the kingdom of heaven. Did not seek for it in their lives. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, here's Paul. I don't know when he wrote this, in 90 AD, something like that. Maybe not that, maybe 70. You know, he's talking about today. He's talking about the idols that we've set up for ourselves in our societies. And he's talking about, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We worship the things of the world instead of the things that create the world, our Heavenly Father. And for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one towards another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense for their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. But filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, disrespectful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, on and on. The day and the time that we live, it's upon us. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, wherefore thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. Telling us to repent, to come, to change our life, to recognize the time that we live in, to believe in the prophecies, to believe in the scriptures, that these things are truthful, that they're happening around us, and to place our faith and trust in them, and to do the things that he tells us to do. I'd like to turn to Moroni. 10th chapter. Starting in the 14th verse. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that we're talking about Christ. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of. Wherefore, there must be faith. There must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. Except you have charity, you can in no wise be safe in the kingdom of God. Neither can you be safe in the kingdom of God if you have not faith. Neither can ye if you have no hope. And if you have no hope, you must needs be in a despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. Set aside the iniquities. Place our faith and our hope and our trust in Christ. Place on, pray for charity with all the energy of heart that we might be brought into the promise. And Christ truly said unto the fathers, if you have faith, you can do all things which are expedient unto me. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. And woe be unto the children of men if this be the case, for there shall be none that doeth good among you, no, not one. For if there be one among you that doeth good, he shall work by the power and the gifts of God. It's a promise. And woe unto them who shall do these things away and die, for they die in their sins, and they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And I speak it according to the words of Christ, and I lie not. And I exhort you to remember these things. For the time speedily cometh, ye shall know that I lie not. For ye shall see me at the bar of God. And the Lord God will say unto you, did I not declare my words unto you, which were written by this man, like as one crying from the dead? Yea, even as one speaking out of the dust. I declare these things unto the fulfilling of the prophecies. And behold, they shall proceed forth out of the mouth of the everlasting God, and his word shall hiss forth from generation to generation, and God shall show unto you that that which I have written is true. And again, I would exhort you that you would come unto Christ and lay hold upon every good gift. Come unto Christ and lay hold of every good gift. And touch not the evil, nor the unclean thing. And awake and arise, or focus, rise up, stand. Stand from the dust, O Jerusalem, yea, and put on thy beautiful daughters, beautiful garments, O daughters of Zion. Talking about the church. Strengthen thy stakes, and enlarge the borders forever, and thou mayest no more be confounded, that the covenants of the eternal Father, which he had made unto thee, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled. Come unto Christ and be perfected in him. He'll cleanse us from our sins. We'll be free from the evils, the wiles of Satan. Come and be lifted up and have him hold us in the hollow of his hand and blow the breath of life, that we might live eternally. Come and change our hearts. Come and set aside the things of the world and accept it. Come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourself of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you. For by his grace, by his favor, we may be perfect in Christ. Perfect in our knowledge. Perfect in our desire. Complete. Be his. We'll be convicted. And if by the grace of God we are perfect in Christ, we can no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then are you sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, of Christ, which is the covenant of the Father and the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. How do we be perfect? How do we endure? How will we be found numbered among the righteous? By repenting of our sins, by forsaking them, by taking on the name of Jesus Christ, by being him being the focal point in our daily life and our meditations and our desires and our thoughts and within our actions and how we treat others and those around us, to love them as he loves us. Moroni closes. He said, now I bid you all farewell. Soon come and rest in the paradise of God, until my spirit and body shall again reunite, and I am brought forth triumphant through the air to meet you before the pleasing bar of the great Jehovah, the eternal judge of both quick and dead. Amen. Moroni had that hope. He knew of his blessings. He accepted the teachings. He lived them. He gave his life for them, and he's an example, and he's looking forward to meeting us at that day. He's saying, partake of this. Come, repent. But put Jesus Christ first in our lives. Those of us that have wandered and have these things that are separate us, to strengthen us with the teachings of the gospel, to meditate upon them, to allow him to absorb our life and take charge of it. For those of us that haven't given our lives to Jesus Christ, to come and recognize and repent of your sins. recognize what they are, forsake them and live them, and be baptized by one having authority and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to abide with us, to strengthen us, and to teach us all the things we must know to have eternal life. That's our eternal reward and a promise of an unchangeable God. Thank you.